The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Welcome to the Thunderbolt for April 21st, 2017. We've been battling evildoers around here.
Fine shooting, just fine.
Since 2012.
You crazy-eyed fool.
What are we gonna do here?
Start closing in. I'll come in from this side.
Now listen, I'm here too, boys.
Ronald Reagan?
Ronnie.
Hi, he's a great man, isn't he?
Yes. This is a special time, a special tape that I think's gonna just, well, bless everyone. We all got a little something special on this tape.
Look, Ronnie, I'm here for years and years.
Country and, well, world.
So, did you think that being a B-grade movie actor was a questionable qualification to be the president of the United States? Well, our current president is literally a cartoon character. Yes, kids. The Rump has been appearing as a character in Doomsbury for decades. And according to Gary Trudeau, the author of Doomsbury, the Rump was the only character that he ever satirized, wherein Mr. Trudeau could simply inject him into the Doomsbury reality by having him saying things that he actually said. And by doing things that he actually did. According to Mr. Trudeau, the Rump is just a natural-born cartoon character.
Hello,
when it came to incorporating the rum into the Doonesbury reality. Mr. Trudeau did not have to change anything. The rum was made for the role. And so, the Thunderbolt decided to question President Rump and asked him this.
Are you a cartoon?
It's a chipmunk.
He ain't no dang car.
I know I'm in good company. They laughed at Einstein too. Columbus was another one, and Bishop Tutu too. So when you see the yellow A and big red cap appear, say howdy, Mr. Alvin, and you better be sincere. Just because I make you laugh don't mean I'm just a
Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies and Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. Those delicious, nutritious breakfast cereals shot from guns. Yes, shot from guns.
Can't stop. Get up in there.
We'll just sit back and wait.
Bursting forth with gigantic grains of goodness.
They want shooting, we'll give them their money's worth. Come on.
Sit back and wait. Guess you can start on the harmonica now, Jingles.
Better put that fancy gun in your hand. You might need it.
All right. I'll take my gun.
Now we're going to have that talk.
My money.
See, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns. See, those who dig. You dig.
Ha! Welcome to the Thunderbolt for May 17th, 2019. For this week's show, I am replaying some Thunderbolts from 2017, which you may remember was early in the career of our illustrious Orange President. And a personal note here, I just became homeless again, but ironically, this will probably mean that I will now have more time to work on the radio show. And who knows? Maybe I can get back to producing two new shows per month again. Anyway, this next Thunderbolt would like to encourage listeners, do not freak out. While a lot of people are finally waking up, it is not near enough, and it might already be too late. We now have a coterie, a full-fledged fascist, sitting in the White House. They are also dominating both the national legislature and the federal courts. The president has the legal authority to declare a national emergency, and he can then legally suspend the Constitution. And I can absolutely guarantee you that while the rump is keeping us distracted with this outrageous barrage of clown-like antics, his minions are very busy setting things up to do just that.
You are now rocking with
Anarchy.
And as soon as they have the infrastructure set up, then all they need is a major terrorist attack. And soon thereafter, you will see cattle cars coming to a neighborhood near you.
Do not freak out.
Spring is about to spring. It's going to be nice weather to shut down a country. Let us now contemplate some of the blessings that Donald Trump has bestowed upon us.
Well, we're moving on now.
Because if you think about it, Donald Trump is doing us all a favor. In that while he is implementing policies that are pure fascism, he is being both entirely too obvious, and he is being entirely too oblivious about it. And frankly, he really isn't very good at it. Yes, his big lies keep falling flat. While he is definitely getting ready to mass imprison American citizens, I am thinking that there are going to be too many of us for his prison machine to handle. And I'm thinking that some of those soldiers are going to have grandmothers who are out there protesting.
It is the collection for which Clipper of electro disco music.
What the rump is doing is that he is giving fascism a bad name. He is using all of the very tricks that I have been describing to you for years here in the Thunderbolt. And he is exposing them to public view. He is being so obvious that even the most naive can see what he is doing. Yes, with his bumbling and stumbling and doing so many incredibly stupid things, it is almost as if he has put a clown mask on fascism. And everyone can not only see the mask, but they also know what is there underneath the mask. Yes, kids, the rump is providing the same service to humanity as that performed by such luminaries as Adolf Hitler and Joseph McCarthy.
Are you crazy?
Yes, he is providing us with a walking, living example that can actually be pointed at and studied, of how a truly foul predator consolidates and manipulates political structures. And we can thus learn more about what we need to look out for in the future. The rump called out the media machine for a bunch of lying, corrupt tools of the corporate elite, which is, of course, exactly what they are. The rump's answer, though, is to completely marginalize the media into complete insignificance. But not because he wants them to start doing their jobs and holding officials accountable, but only because he does not want anyone to hold him accountable.
Если должен, тогда отдавай. Если держишь, что не отпускай. Непрерывно что-то делай. Давай, давай, давай.
The Trump also correctly pointed out that we have spent several trillion dollars with a T in the Middle East. Yet the Middle East is now much worse than it was before we started. But his answer to this is to vastly increase military spending right when we need to seriously slash military spending. And he is going to slash funding for social programs, environmental protection, and corporate regulation right at the time when we need to empower poor people. We need to implement emergency measures as far as the environment is concerned. And right when we need to start throwing most of the Wall Street banksters into prison. And so, yet another blessing that is being bestowed upon us by the rump is that, almost unique amongst politicians, the rump is completely reliable. In that, you can always count on him to do the complete opposite of whatever it is that he should be doing.
Time sure flies.
You only know how to play, or do you know how to shoot?
I'm gonna kill you with this one bullet if you try to take his gun. So, come on, take it. If you can.
Hand it over. You'll be dead before you can draw the hammer back.
That's so.
Good shooting. Very good shooting.
In April of 2011, we occupied the State Capitol building here in Olympia. After 3 days, we were forcefully evicted, and about a dozen people were arrested. We made a lot of noise, we got a lot of press, and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. But after the dust settled, almost everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, a few months later, the Occupy movement sprang into being. And we here in Olympia occupied Heritage Park. We were forcefully evicted several months later. We made a lot of noise. We got a lot of press and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. After the dust had settled, though, everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, in 2012, the Idle No More movement sprung up. Now, I did not participate in the Idle No More movement directly, but they made a lot of noise, they got a lot of press, and a lot of attention. And they scored a couple of legislative victories that they likely would not have been able to pull off without their movement. It would now seem, though, that they have largely dispersed and they did not really accomplish much overall. And now, we have the Black Lives Matter movement.
Edit.
And the Standing Rock movement. They are both still active, and their ultimate fates are yet to be determined. But it would not be out of line to expect a similar such trajectory. However, here is the thing.
Edit.
A lot of people made a lot of connections at the Capitol occupation, and it was there, in fact, where I originally began compiling the mailing list that eventually became the mailing list for the Thunderbolt. Yes, almost everyone moved on to other things, but a lot of people stayed in touch and continued working together on some of those other things.
Edit.
In other words, a network was created. It was the same with the Occupy movement. There are now a whole bunch of people who are now activists who would not have been activists without the Occupy movement. And there are a whole bunch of occupiers now on the Thunderbolt mailing list that would not have been there if not for Occupy. Yes, most people moved on, but yet more networks were created. And I am confident the same thing happened with the Idle No More, and that this process is now happening with Black Lives Matter and with Standing Rock. We are all building networks. There are thousands of people in Olympia alone who are ready for action and just need a credible direction to go. And I am thinking that this very likely is the case all over the country. What I am hoping is that everyone is maybe going to finally figure out that all of our battles are ultimately the same battle, and that all of these networks we have been building over the years will all then coalesce into a great final movement where we can finally get 3% of us out onto the streets all at the same time. And then we can finally force them once and for all to either voluntarily dismount their high horses or to get knocked off of them and onto their asses.
Edit.
All the way up the tube. Drop your gun, fellas.
Don't do it. He killed Sal, but we got four guns. He's only got one bullet left in that Derringer.
One's better than none.
We got him.
Let's see if that's true. Count to three.
All the way up to six if I had to. Maybe faster than you.
One. When I say three, draw. One.
If you say two, I'll kill you.
Keep count.
Two.
Gee.
I'll kill the next man who speaks.
Gosh, what excitement. Strike!
Hey, wait a minute. Good shooting.
No, don't shoot again.
That wasn't Bill, that was me, Jingles. And don't break for that door again.
Stop him, man.
And the Thunderbolt will return after a quick station break. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. So, next, it is time for me to come clean and make a confession, kids. I have long specialized in presenting the news from a sarcastic and or ironic and or comedic angle. However, these days, political reality itself has become a sarcastic and ironic joke. So, what need for I? It is starting to seem as if reality has possibly made the Thunderbolt superfluous. For instance, just like Barack Obama, Donald Trump ran against Goldman Sachs during his campaign, only to turn full control over his White House to Goldman Sachs immediately upon assuming office.
I'm the king, I am the king of the world, the king of the ocean, king of the sky, little things and big things, head lice and cedar trees, a great white shark, and the Boy Scout troop. They all sing with me,
for I am the king of nothing. I'm just a liar, I pay my own money, and I lead the parade. I'm just a liar, I'm full of it.
Little girl, take my hand, you can ride on the shoulder. For I am the king of the world.
Any differences between Donald Trump and your typical sold-out corporate shill that they have at one time existed have long since disappeared.
Like the city, it's the one that I've built. Can I sell you my city? Can I sell you the scales? If you like it to buy it, you'll buy it to like it. For I am the king, I am the king of the world.
The Syrian missile strike that was a complete and total about-face in policy for the rump provides further evidence that Goldman Sachs is still firmly entrenched throughout the executive branch, and that the militarists have cowed the rump into submission to their foreign policy agenda. There is a long history of presidents needing to be brought into line. In 1961, CIA Chief Alan Dulles, largely without John F. Kennedy's knowledge, orchestrated an invasion of Cuba by creating an entire army of anti-Castro Cuban exiles. Dulles then presented the already in progress invasion to the brand new president as a fait accompli. The troops were already on the beach, and they were going to be massacred by Cuban troops.
If you wanna ride,
unless Kennedy,
don't ride the white horse,
ordered American air support.
If you wanna ride, don't ride the white horse.
Kennedy correctly viewed this
white horse
as a usurpation of his prerogatives, in addition to being the equivalent
white horse
of blackmail and extortion.
Don't ride the white horse.
And he correctly viewed this as a good way to start World War III. Kennedy refused to play along. He not only refused to order air support,
if you wanna ride,
but he soon thereafter,
don't ride the white horse,
fired Alan Dulles.
If you wanna ride,
then during the very scary 2 weeks of the Cuban Missile Crisis,
if you wanna ride,
the military people in both the Soviet Union and the United States were hot to trot to launch World War III.
Don't ride the white horse.
American General Curtis LeMay,
white horse,
estimated that the United States could launch a first strike nuclear attack on the Soviet Union,
white horse,
and then survive the Soviet counterattack with around 40 million American casualties. And General LeMay considered 40 million American casualties to be an acceptable price to pay in order to destroy the Soviet Union.
If you want to be rich.
Curtis LeMay was the chief of staff.
I said rich.
Of the United States Air Force.
Bitch.
The Soviet machine had most excellent intelligence, and thus they knew that this was LeMay's view, and thus their view was that they should launch the first strike.
If you wanna be rich,
you got to be a bitch.
The people who run imperialist enterprises,
rich,
are literally psychopathic. And the only reason that the destruction of humanity,
bitch,
did not indeed take place in October of 1962, was because Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev opened a secret back channel to John Kennedy by smuggling to him a handwritten letter that was hidden inside a copy of the New York Times. And thus both men were able to bypass their own security and military establishments and cooperate with each other in order to avert disaster.
Ride the white pony.
Kennedy and Khrushchev,
white pony,
both trusted each other more than they trusted their own security establishments.
White pony.
As a result of their actions, Khrushchev was subsequently deposed, and Alan Dulles,
rich,
subsequently,
you bitch,
not only had Kennedy murdered, Padula subsequently finagled himself into the position of actually, if not officially, heading up the official investigation into the Kennedy assassination. Only in America. The vast majority of the information and theories put forth in the Warren Commission report on the Kennedy assassination were collected and written by Alan Dulles.
White pony.
When it comes to the big things
white pony
that really matter, the president runs virtually nothing. Climate change is the issue of our time. Yet not only is it being almost completely ignored by world leaders, but here in the United States, our new leader is denying its very existence. So here's the latest. Optimistic calculations are that without immediate emergency measures to deal with runaway climate change, we will experience complete societal collapse by 2030. The pessimists are saying it will be by 2020. They also disagree about what will get us first. Will it be rising sea levels? Food shortages? The mass displacement of hundreds of millions of humans? Water shortages? Floods? Much more powerful storms and hurricanes happening much more often? Massive wildfires? Nuclear war? Being stuck on a desert island with Justin Bieber?
Well, that doesn't beat all. What's going on anyway? Hickok, Jingles, Sourdough, all of them vanishing into thin air. There's something downright weird about this whole thing.
Already happening, but the ice is actually melting exponentially faster than even the most pessimistic predictions of just a few years ago. A 3-foot sea level rise would flood all of the major river deltas in Asia where they grow all of their rice and grain. However, new predictions based upon the new figures are saying that we're not looking at a mere 2 or 3 feet of sea level rise, but we're going to be dealing with up to 6 feet by the end of the century. Well, there goes Bangladesh and Florida. Some are now predicting a 10-foot plus sea level rise in the not too distant future. However, if I were a betting man, I would wager that food shortages are probably going to be the thing that will bring us down first. Last year, The average temperature in Moscow for the month of July was 14 degrees Fahrenheit above the norm. And as a result, they lost 40% of their grain harvest. This meant that the world market ended up with 40 million tons less grain than had been anticipated. And this caused a shock to world grain prices, which caused a shock to world food prices, with world hunger rising right along with those food prices.
1 minute Dixie and a two beat.
In a way, though, the world dodged a bullet. Had that heat wave been centered upon Chicago rather than Moscow, and if the United States had lost 14% of its grain crop as a result,
she'd be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'd be
then the world would have lost 160 million tons of grain rather than the 40 million that they did lose.
We would all be playing Dixie when she comes.
And had that happened,
we'd all be playing Dixie when she comes.
Humanity,
oh, we all be playing Dixie,
would have had the lowest per capita grain stocks in recorded human history, and grain prices would have truly skyrocketed, causing a major worldwide famine. Many of the other grain exporters would have started holding on to their stocks in order to feed their own people, thus exacerbating the problem even further. And countries with oil would have started trading oil for grain. But most countries have neither oil nor grain. They would have simply been up a certain creek without a paddle. So desperate people will do desperate things. We would have seen food riots like we've never seen before. Governments would have started toppling left and right. And demagogues would have ruled the day. It would have been every country for itself, and it would have been an explosion of mass insanity and violence. No one anywhere would have been looking at, nor would anyone have any concerns about the bigger picture. And that is how close we are to the edge. In 2008, the entire world economy completely collapsed because of a manufactured housing bubble in the United States. Everything is integrated these days, and there are several areas of the world where they are currently pumping up major food bubbles. They are overpumping aquifers. They are overplowing marginal lands where erosion is now creating dust bowl-like conditions across vast swaths of our planet. This is not only happening all over, but it is happening with all three of the largest grain producers on the planet, i.e., China, India, and the United States.
And so on.
Saudi Arabia is actually the cutting edge on this front, though. Saudi Arabia has been self-sufficient in wheat production for over 20 years. But they did this by pumping water from a fossil aquifer, or an aquifer that does not recharge. 2 years ago, Saudi Arabia announced that their aquifer was about to run dry and that they were going to phase out grain production over the next 8 years. But their wheat harvest has shrunk by over 70% in the 2 years since that announcement was made, and it is now evident that the Saudis are actually going to be out of the wheat business altogether within the next 2 years. In Yemen, their aquifer is also about to go dry. Grain production has collapsed in Syria as well, partly due to the war, but partly due to water shortages caused by drought. Falling grain production due to water shortages is a completely new phenomenon. The truly monstrous food bubbles, though, are in India and China. According to the World Bank, 175 million people in India are being fed by grain that is being produced by overpumping and depleting aquifers, which by definition is a short-term fix. In China, that figure is estimated to stand at 130 million. And in addition to all of that, when the Himalayan glaciers melt, the major rivers feeding both India and China, and the massive irrigation systems that are utterly dependent upon those rivers, are going to experience seriously reduced flows at certain times of the year, thus further devastating their rice and grain crops.
And so on.
And as for the earth itself, well, she thinks the long game. There have been times when our entire planet was covered with a thick sheet of ice. There have been times when our planet had palm trees and alligators at the South Pole. Climate change happens.
So on.
The Earth and life on the Earth has so far survived all of it. If humanity and most of the other life forms currently existing were to disappear, the Earth will just shrug her shoulders and move on to new things. She might even give a sigh of relief, similar to that one gives just after finally escaping from a bad relationship. But that would be anthropomorphizing the Earth. Huh. Whatever. If humans were to disappear, the sun would still come up in the morning. Life would still be there, and it would still be adapting. And maybe the next experiment in intelligence and self-awareness will be harbored by a species more fit for it than humanity has proven to be. Maybe, though, humanity was not a complete waste. Perhaps our job was to provide an object lesson for future civilization builders upon some of the pitfalls to be aware of when experimenting with intelligence, self-awareness, and especially with civilizations. But you know, I would really rather not disappear. My granddaughter rocks. My granddaughter should have an awesome dream world to live in. Not some fiery nightmare. The bottom line here, it might be too late, but then again, it might not be. It's really hard to tell, actually. As for myself, well, I'm not really ready to throw in the towel quite yet. So it's time to get to work.
All right, Fro and Hollow Earth listeners get another 6 minutes, but otherwise, that's it for the Thunderbolt this week. See you next week.
The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here, the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.